Just you being responsive and yielding. I want us to turn to Daniel chapter number 3. The third chapter of Daniel. And I certainly appreciate all the Lord has done thus far in the service. But I have a word of encouragement that I would like to give to someone or several here tonight. And so I want to give you this before you go home. Daniel chapter 3. Let's begin our reading in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. I heard a guy read this one time, and he said that King Nebuchadnezzar was astoned. I guess he thought it meant he was out of his mind. Blew him out of his mind. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Lord would help me tonight. What I'd like to preach is this: what you already knew, but you've probably forgotten. This is something that we all remember from when we were in Sunday school and, of course, going to Vacation Bible School and Children's Church and so on and so forth. This story we've heard many times, but there are three great truths out of this that I want to remind you of that, of course, you know, but you just need to be reminded about. Every time I read these scriptures, I'm reminded that back many years ago when I was traveling, I used to occasionally preach a sermon from Daniel 3 that I would entitle, Keeping Your Cool in the Furnace of Life. Now, these boys learned how to keep their cool when the heat was on. These boys had learned how to keep their cool when the pressure was put on them. I heard Brother Bill Houston, say many years ago that when he worked in the coal mines, that there was a black gentleman that worked on the same shift he did. And that was night shift. He said when we went into the coal mines, it was dark. And he said we come out just crack of day, and it was just not even quite daylight when we come out. He said, but that guy would wear a top hat, big old long coat, carry a stick, and wear a pair of sunshades. He said he'd come and work that way all the time. And said he would go into the restrooms there and change into his coveralls, work the night, come back in to the work area there and clean up and put on his hat and get his stick and get his coat and put his shades on. Somebody said, man, why in the world you wear them shades all the time? Don't you know it's dark? He said, hey, baby, when you's cool as I is, the sun is always shining. I want to tell you tonight, these boys had learned how to keep their cool when the pressure was on. These boys had learned how to keep their cool in the furnace of life. There are three things that you already know, but you probably forgot. And the first one is this. God's people are a persecuted people. Now, I wish it wasn't that way, but the fact of the matter is, it's that way. Whether you like it or not, God's people are going to be persecuted. The context of the story is this. King Nebuchadnezzar reacts in anger because of the stand that is taken by these three Hebrew boys. They refuse to bow to the image. And he purposes to destroy them in the burning fiery furnace. They had suffered every indignity that was imagined to a young boy. They had been taken captive. They were now slaves. Their names had been changed. And they are servants unto this heathen king. But when it comes time for them to bow, they refuse to bow. Remember, you probably forgot, but God's people are a persecuted people. We are persecuted people because of our standards. It's obvious we don't quite look the same. You know, they look at us, but I'm watching them too. I mean, these guys that's got green hair and got rings hanging out of their ears and their nose and their belly button look at me when I sit at the mall because I got long sleeves and a cowboy hat on, and they're thinking, he's strange, and I'm thinking, they're weird. Come on here now. But you know, it's very obvious to the world that we're just not like them. People that love God will be persecuted because of their standards. It is necessary, house of prayer, that we have a standard. It is necessary that our code of conduct and our standard of living makes us different, because our lifestyle, our conduct, our convictions are to bring glory to God. They are to be a witness unto the lost. They are to be a witness unto the sinner, to cause them to realize that the grace of God can take a life and change it and make something different out of that person that was once bound in sin, and cause them to be one that will give glory to God. Young ladies, they will make fun of you, the world will. You know, it seems like that the world has forgot what modesty really is. But I want to say, I appreciate young ladies here at 519 Grimm, and I appreciate you mothers that want to bring your daughters up in the correct manner, so that our young ladies will dress in a modest fashion. I think it is something that is necessary. It is something that is looked upon so lightly in the world. But I want to tell you, my friend, my daddy always told me this. He said, if you saw something advertised, then you took that it was for sale. But I want to tell you, our young ladies are not for sale. And they're not supposed to advertise like they are. Now shout amen. So thank God that we've got some young people. Thank God that we've got some moms and we've got some dads that realize we do have standards. Not only are we mocked because of our standards, but we're mocked because of our Savior. Nebuchadnezzar said, who is that God that will deliver you? As if to say, you're telling me that you serve one that is able to deliver you out of mine hand? I want to tell you, the God that I serve is able. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Mohammed. His name is not Hare Krishna. No, His name is Jesus Christ. I know the world mocks and the world makes fun and the world will scoff and laugh because we own Jesus as Savior. But I want to tell you, there's only one name given among men. Neither is there salvation in any other. He's the only way to the heavens. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to be saved. I'm not ashamed to testify He is my Savior. It seems like in this day of tolerance and this day of acceptance that people will leer and will mock at us because we stand so strong that God is God alone and there is no other beside Him. You probably forgot, but I'm just reminding you, God's people are going to be persecuted. God's people are going to be persecuted because of their standards, because of their Savior. They were persecuted because they stood when everybody else bowed down. These boys just stood. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. Why not? Because they had not been trained. They had not been brought up in a manner so that they would bow to every whim of a heathen king. They had been taught not to bow to that kind of music. You going to help me while I preach? They had been brought up in such a way that they would not compromise their convictions for that kind of music. Their parents most probably, if they were alive, they were too slaves. They may have been killed. Who knows? But nevertheless, their parents were not there. Mom or dad was not there. No one was there to reassure them. No one was there to try to exhort and encourage them. Hey, stand strong. Be tough. Stand strong. No, they had just been taught to stand strong. Here's what we need. We need some young people that will stand strong when the preacher's not there to observe. We need some young people that will stand strong when parents are not there to look on. You know what we need, parents, is to instill in our children some integrity, something that will cause them to do right when they find themselves all alone, something that will cause them to refuse to bend. Here's what Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That word conformed there is, do not be pressed into their mold. In other words, do not let peer pressure, do not let the opinions of others cause you to compromise what you are, but be holy because you've been made holy in Christ Jesus. Live right, be true, be strong, have moral fiber, have enough guts, if you will, to do right no matter what everybody else is doing.
I need to hurry. They were persecuted because they stood. They were persecuted because they just would not give an inch. You probably already knew, but maybe you just forgot. Not only are God's people a persecuted people, but also God's people are a preserved people. It took the furnace to prove that. And when these boys were cast into the fire, you know what happened? They would not burn. Here's what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 43 and verse 2, and many of you can quote it. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I've got good news for you. Not only God's people are sometimes persecuted, but God's people are always preserved. He will keep us. These three Hebrew boys were cast into the fire, but an amazing thing happens. Instead of dying in the flames, they are loosed from their bonds, and they are walking around in the flames. King Nebuchadnezzar, he cannot believe his eyes. It's hard for him to accept what he sees. There they are. They're not bound down and falling, but they're loose and they're walking. Now, I have been told that in the event that you're caught in a house that is on fire, what you're supposed to do is get down on your knees or lay flat on your belly and try to crawl out. No, these boys are not on their knees crawling around. They're not on their belly trying to get out of the furnace, but they're loose and they are walking. They have been preserved by an ever-present God. May I say that He is an ever-present God. They are free in the fire. The fire does not harm them, but the fire rather looses the bonds that help them. May I say the fire you're going through is but a refining process that will loose you from the bonds of habits, that will loose you from the bonds of desires, that will loose you from the bonds of things that shackle you. And when you get in the fire will set you free, and the fire will deliver you. They were free in the fire. They were fine in the fire. Well, when they got out of the fire, not even the smell of smoke was on them. They were protected by an ever-present God. They were preserved by by an all-powerful God. Not even the smell of smoke was upon them. You can get out and pump fuel and go into a convenience store and come out smelling like you're a three-pack-a-day guy. Huh? Yeah, it'll get all over you. These boys got right in the middle of the fire, and the Lord preserved them. He is an ever-present God. He is an all-powerful God. He will protect, and He will preserve. God's people are a persecuted people. God's people are a preserved people. Brother MacDonald, you do not understand what I go through on my job. You do not understand what I face in my home. You do not realize what I have to put up with. God's people are a preserved people. I've told it 100 times, but there's some stories worth telling over again. When we lived in Caledonia, Mississippi, there was a mother there of 3 girls. Her husband was an alcoholic. Those children, those girls were 12 to 17 along that age. Linda Shackelford, their mom, come to church every service. We had 3 services a week, revival. She just didn't miss church for nothing. They come sick. They just come all the time. Her husband, as I said, was an alcoholic. She come to church one night, and she was all tore up. The ladies gathered around and prayed for her. Finally, we got the service underway. Later, she stood up and told what had happened. She and the girls made ready for church to leave just like they always did. And just as she was about to go out the door, her husband, who was there at that time, most of the time he stayed off somewhere drunk, but he happened to be home. And just as she was going out the door, he reached and took a revolver out of a little nightstand or somewhere where he was sitting. He pulled that gun out and he cocked it. And he leveled it at her and he said, "Linda, I'm sick and tired of this church mess." And he said, "If you walk out that door, I'm going to kill you." She turned to him and she said, "If you kill me, I'm going to heaven. But if you don't, I'm going to church." And out that door she came, right onto the house of God. And you tell me you've got an excuse not to come because you've got a bellyache, or because you've got a toe ache, or just because you just jolly well don't feel like coming to church? What about that indefatigable persistency, that dauntless persuasion, that something that rises up in you and says, "I'm not giving up. I will not quit. I refuse to recant. I'm not going to turn back. I will not retreat, but I'm going to live for God. If it tarnips the devil, I'm going to serve God no matter what." I preached revival 3 nights this past week down for Dad. There was a man that come every service. He is a war veteran. I do not know the whole story. All I know is that due to sugar diabetes and other problems, both of his legs were amputated above the knee back during Thanksgiving. He come every service. He was the first one to get there and about the last one to leave. He always had a smile. He always had something good to say. He's going through rehab. They're going to fit him with 2 legs. He told my mom the other day, he said, "You just wait. I'll come walking through them doors one of these days to church." He's not quit. He's not got bitter. He's not got hard. But in spite of what happened, he made up his mind, "I believe I'm going to go on anyway." That's what you need to do, is make up your mind. I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to live for God no matter what happens. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in, but I'm going to serve God. God's people are a persecuted people. God's people are a preserved people. You know where this ends, don't you? God's people are a promoted people. It don't matter where you put them. It don't matter how you mistreat them. It don't matter what you may do to them. In the end, they're going to come out on top. Did you hear what I said? It don't matter how you treat a child of God. It don't matter how you may malign their name. It don't matter what you may say about them. When the shaking's all over, they're going to come out on top. That's what the Bible says. Chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God." Who? Before he had said, "And who is that God that's going to deliver you?" But he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word." Wow! Changed the king's word. "And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their homes shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king, what does it say? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Yes, God's people are persecuted. Yes, they are preserved. And yes, they are promoted. God will bless you and you'll come out on top if you'll live right, if you'll do right, if you'll be true, if you refuse to compromise, if you refuse to give in. God will bless you in the end. God's person is praised. He praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God's people are promoted. Young people, it may seem like I say that other people are doing better. It may seem like that other people are prospering more. But remember, things are not always like they seem. God's person is praised in the end, and God's people is promoted. So he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember the story that Dwight Lyman Moody told of a young clerk, 16-year-old apprentice, that worked at a shipping dock. D.L. Moody said that the owner of that shipping firm approached this young man and told him to falsify the amount of grain that was in these giant sacks that would hold a half a ton or more of grain. Big, huge sacks. All he wanted him to do was tip the scales and add an extra 10 pound or so to each sack, that was shipped out. Just add a little more weight to each one. The young man was a Christian, and he said, "Sir, I'm a child of God. I cannot do that. I cannot do that." He was threatened, and yet he still would not do it. And D.L. Moody said he was fired because he would not falsify those tags concerning the weight of those sacks. A number of days went by, and he received word that he needed to go down to the local bank. He walked in and he was ushered in to see the president of the bank. The president looked at that young boy and said, I've sent for you to offer you a job. And the young man said, "Well, sir, I am out of work and I desperately need a job." He said, "Well, you have a job. You can start to work tomorrow." The young boy said, "Well, sir, how did you even find out about me?" And the banker named the firm where he had been fired from. He said, "Mr. So-and-so that owns the shipping firm," he said, "you were the most honest boy he knew." Hallelujah. God's people are promoted. There's some of you who are really dealing with some things, and you're having a hard time trying to sort it all out. You're wondering, "God, how can you be in this? And what's the purpose of all of it?" God's people are promoted. You just give it time. You'll get your raise one of these days. Let's stand all over the house. Would anybody like to just give the Lord a praise for just a moment here? These are some things that you already knew, but you may have forgot. You probably already knew it, but you just forgot. God's people are persecuted, but God's people are preserved. and in the end, they will be promoted. Your heads are bowed. Come and get me a song. Got a wonderful crowd here tonight. Happy for all of you that have come in. And I want to say, I know some of you are hindered by work and other things, but yet you still think enough to come on, and I want you to know we appreciate you coming. And that's why we want to give us another opportunity to make an altar, give you a chance to receive help. We've prayed already once, but I'd like for you to receive the strength and the help you need, God, to minister and give you help in this service tonight. So while your heads are bound, over on my right side, you may say, Brother Chad, I feel like I'm one of those you were talking about. I've been persecuted. Can I remind you that God will preserve you? He'll keep you. And in the end, He'll promote you. And He's going to get the glory. So I want to see your hand tonight on my right side. You'll say, Brother Chad, I needed to hear what you preached tonight. I need to lay hold on it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you, son. Brother Chad sees that hand. Thank you. Over here on my left. Yes. God sees it. He knows it. Be encouraged, brother. Be strengthened, sister. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Your day will come. It won't always be the furnace. It won't always be the fire. It won't always be the hardship. One of these days it'll be promotion day. Your day will come. Oh. Glory to God. While they sing, let's fill the altars. Let's come seek the Lord again. Promotion days ahead.
The world that I am living in won't give me any slack. Seems like every day old Satan tries to jump right on my back. Well, I know he's out there waiting, trying to prod.